to Bunda Vista, episode 360. I'm Theo, and if this is your first episode, you may want to check out episode 339, Ratatouille Life Dead, instead, or perhaps the unlocked bonus episode, the Tweens and Teens Pheasant Blasting Jamboree. I think that one got unlocked just on the basis of its title alone. Teens and Tweens Pheasant Blasting Jamboree. It's a good one. It's a good title. Good episode. Because here, in the present, things are getting a little dark. It's the 39th week since Ben disappeared in darkest Peru. Mm. Without his beacon of moral guidance, the show immediately and notably began a descent that has continued unchecked until now. Having exhausted the Dutch and English as a cheap source of acceptable parody, our scope widened to encompass all white European colonial powers. One message in the show planning Discord channel reads, "Are the Portuguese white?" Another, "Are the Portuguese silly?" We're unmoored, like children let loose at a county fair. We no longer cover our mouths when we sneeze. Andrew ate two red velvet cupcakes for breakfast. The earth begins to turn and scorch ahead of our steps as we survey a moral wasteland extending in every direction. Behind us leers an identical image, giving no indication of how we got here. Our mouths never lose the taste of Nescafe. The air smells like dookie. Between ourselves, without our beautiful Benjamin, we pitch ideas moronically. What if we got James Joyce's love letters as recorded as DJ drops by Wigman? Our breaths shorten. Patreon messages flood in. One, giving a full racial history in defense of the Portuguese. Another, giving a full racial history opposing the Portuguese. It doesn't matter. We're not going to read them. We need to find some incomprehensible bit about cubes to hyperfixate upon. Do you think Greg Larson would come on the show? Is this ridiculous intro just to cover for the fact that there's an insanely loud fairground playing next door? With me, as always, is Andrew, ready to tell his most violent personal accident anecdote yet. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. Ready to hear about the time I got bisected?
You got straight cut in half?
I got exploded, too.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And you are eating cupcakes for breakfast.
Look, you don't need to put my real stuff on blast on the show. My real personal problems.
My goal for this show is to make the real us and the podcast us inseparable, unlike yourself, who got extremely separated right down the middle.
Yes, I was getting myself a coffee. Like I said, I got up too late. We were out for a friend's birthday last night. That was at a German style restaurant. Opa German style, and you could get like two-liter beers.
Yeah.
On the table.
Yeah.
And they'll just keep bringing them out if you ask them.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to pay for it at the end. That's fine. But importantly, we left first.
I did. I'm sure I've told this before, but when we were in Munich at a beer hall, I did see like a tiny Spanish woman drink two liters of beer, like straight up. You go like, what the fuck is going on over there?
How'd it make you feel?
Well, I felt fine.
Did her tummy get all big?
You guys are getting too salt literature in the background there. Right?
Is that really what's going on outside your house right now?
No. That's from.
That's on your computer.
By swans. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
This is some music I listen to. Also here with me.
Some normal tunes.
Also here with me is Lucy, who's put together the most ambitious segment of the show yet. It's Squid Games crossed with Salo. You worked hard on this one, Lucy. How are you?
And what would that look like?
What would that look like?
I just want to point out that Theo's been really sassy this morning. Away. He's come on here, he's like, "Oh, eating cupcakes much," and then I was eating a bagel, and he said, "All right, Seinfeld." Just like, Someone's got to reel him in a little bit.
Ben, come home.
Come home, Ben. We need you more than ever. Paddington Bear your way over back here from darkest Peru.
That's not a joke, by the way. Ben's in Peru. It kind of sounds like a joke.
Ben's in Peru.
Yeah. It sounds like a joke. Who'd go to Peru for 6 weeks? Ben. That's who.
Leaving his friends all alone.
All alone to sadly continue our normal lives.
To navigate. But the work continues.
The Benless world. Yeah. You know?
He won't listen to this, so it's fine.
He probably will.
If he does, he's got a sickness.
He works so hard. That's true. Just like us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Guess we all fester in our own unique ways, don't we?
Hmm.
Yeah, but mine doesn't make me engage with work outside of work hours.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Ben has completely lost any barrier between, like, home and work life, considering that his job... He shares with his beautiful partner.
And all his friends are there and he hangs out there.
All his friends are there and he spends all of his time there also doing this show as well, which is with the rest of his friends.
Yeah, he's lost all the lines between work wife and real wife, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's he's fucked. Not like us, though. We have completely normal mental relationships with our work.
Oh, yeah.
Ourselves,
totally.
With our listeners.
Uh-huh.
Very few terrifying things happening. Very few things that happen to make us go, uh-oh, that can't be good. It's time for Omens and Portents.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God. And bow down to his will.
This is from UPI. Museum exhibit explores mysterious Kentucky meat shower of 1876.
Okay. I think I know about this one.
Oh.
Well, not the museum exhibit, though.
Wow, disappointing.
Getting out there with a plate.
I learned a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yummy. No. A Kentucky Museum's new exhibit is dedicated to one of Bath County's most mysterious historical events, the so-called Kentucky Meat Shower. Yeah, it's funny.
So-called. Those peasants from the 1800s.
The Bath County History Museum exhibit details the March 1876 event, which is said to have occurred when Olympia Springs resident Rebecca Crouch... She should stand up. Was outside with her grandson and chunks of red meat rained down from the sky.
Yeah.
A preserved piece of what is believed to be the meat that fell from the sky was preserved at Transylvania University.
Come on.
Come on now.
Come on.
It's a bit on the nose.
Transylvania in University in Kentucky.
Transylvania University, Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah. All right.
And the school.
Professor Bathory.
And the school returned the jar of flesh to Bath County to serve as the centerpiece of the museum exhibit.
Yeah, let me
some old meat. That's some fucking old meat.
So red meat rains down from the sky. You pick a piece of it up. You take it into Transylvania University, and then Dr. Acula tells you that there's nothing suspicious about it.
Well, look, if someone's going to know about it. Take it to the experts.
That's true.
They probably know
what it is.
This is very normal.
I will keep this.
Do not worry about it.
DNA tests on the preserved meat have been inconclusive, leading to multiple different theories about the cause of the meaty rain.
Not just the say cause, inconclusive. Right, but also that, yeah, like also just
like what the meat
content
is?
Of it. Because DNA goes bad after a while, I assume, right?
Like, yeah, I think so.
Goes off.
Because it's just organic material like everything else. Hey, you got that nasty DNA.
So you think if we just like left a tin of like spam or like deviled ham or something.
You wouldn't know what it is.
I mean, you could probably test that now and come up with the same result.
Yeah, probably.
Mm. Yeah.
It's definitely meat of some kind, they'd say.
Do we know that it's meat? Have we established
much? Okay. I don't know. So this is a theory. One includes there's a weather pattern where winds will pick up small fish and frogs. I think it's called an upspout.
Yeah.
And then they lay them down in another place, Kurt Goad, a professor at Transylvania University, told.
That's
this news outlet. For me, the vulture vomit theory is the only one that feels possible.
This is the one I've heard.
Yeah, there was no description of this in the article, so I went to Wikipedia.
Yeah. Hey, you know all that meat falling from the sky? That sounds pretty fucked up, but luckily there's an even worse explanation for it.
What if it was vulture vomit?
What if it's just a bunch of vultures just puked into an updraft?
Do you think there was one vulture that threw up and other vultures around it were like, oh I hate seeing someone throw up.
Yucky.
We got sympathetic vomiters among the vultures.
Ate some bad, like, rotting flesh today.
Yeah. By the way, my intro was kind of maybe, it doesn't matter.
What? Go on.
Well, it's been kind of yucky, hasn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's been a little bit yucky. What's the problem?
What about this is yucky? I'm trying to solve mysteries.
I'm not making a value judgment.
Is Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Machine yucky to you?
Yeah.
All right. They're solving problems like us. Solving problems from 1876.
Solving problems from 1876. So this is from Wikipedia on the Kentucky meat shower.
Wikipedia.
So everyone else is allowed to, like, look up an old mystery and make a podcast out of it, and that's fine. And when we do it, it's yucky. Okay.
So one thing how come we've got, like, my favorite murder, but, like, not my favorite pedophilia or something? Right? While we're talking about this.
Hey there, Peterinos.
My favorite priest relocation.
Ooh, got a yucky story for you today.
Right, because, like, murders.
This one's going to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Someone getting murdered in cold blood? Not good.
Not a good situation.
All right. Okay, all right. I'm just glad we've got some moral lines laid down.
Oh, I've said to my wife in the privacy of our own home that I think that true crime stuff is a moral sickness.
Oh, it's
in
horrible.
Our society.
Yeah,
it is the kind of, like, you know, the worst freaks on Twitter and the broader internet point to, you know, the latter days of the Roman Empire where, you know, I don't know, whatever they didn't like was going on and caused the downfall or whatever. But this is sort of like, if you believed in that sort of stuff, it's that feel of going like, all right, well, someone got killed, but, you know, it's time to make $10 million talking about.
What if we got a little entertainment out of it? I'm assuming it makes all the people.
Consume it, that's fine. It makes sense. But making it is perverted.
No, I think consuming it too. Yeah.
I think consuming it too. At least the people making it are getting paid.
I just can't make a value judgment. I've watched so many series of Criminal Minds. One of the sickening, most perverted shows that's been on, like, network television.
Yeah, it's from
It is disgusting. It's also fictional. Like,
yeah, but the fucked up, you know, people, that is what people think that crime is now, right? Like, the fictionalization and, like, the elevated kind of state of the people that solve those crimes as well, like CSI and that sort of shit, to be like, oh, they're actually using that technology. They're not using shit to solve shit.
Yeah.
Barely even
it's
those
really
rape kits untested.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, Elna and I were talking the other night about, about how when you have kids and your kids are getting older, that it's like, we're kind of reaching this point where it's like, how much longer do I want to pretend with my kids that, like, police are trustworthy or anything?
Or do anything.
Yeah. Like, you know, I was saying, I think it's genuinely difficult to sort of raise kids if your attitude, like mine, is like, not every adult is trustworthy, and you shouldn't be like, I'm not trying to raise those kids who are like, you can't tell me what to do. If you touch me, I'm gonna sue you, kind of thing to people. But also, it's like, you shouldn't do everything that every fucking adult tells you because they're an adult. Absolutely not.
Yeah, most
that's
adults
crazy.
Are
that's how people get abused.
Idiots.
You know, and yeah, like we were talking about something, and I was saying to Eleanor, like, something that, like, reading enough real news, not like true crime shit, I guess. Reading enough real news, I have just internalized at this point that I genuinely believe that there are, like, a mind-numbing quantity of just murders that go unreported and unremarked upon because someone didn't want something to like get out, get in the news. How many of those stories do we see now that are like, you know, if there's like a cop in Baltimore who's going to testify against some other cops and they find him in the front seat of his car with a bullet wound in the back of his head and they go,
yeah,
suicide. It's a real shame about that.
Yeah.
It's like, how many of those
26,
are there?
26 stab wounds in the front and back.
The fucking guy.
Tripped and fell.
Josh Shapiro, who was in the running to be one of the picks for Kamala Harris's vice president, and people were like, well, there's this one issue that might potentially be a problem for him, and that's when he was like governor or DA or prosecutor or whatever of the state that he was in.
We're so smart.
there was this son of a wealthy donor who came home and quote unquote found his girlfriend dead. And the cops and family lawyers and stuff have swooped in and they've taken all his devices and mysteriously disappeared them. And this dude, Josh Shapiro, again, at the height of politics enough to be considered for vice presidential pick, was personally involved in changing the status of the case from homicide to suicide. The woman died of over 20 stab wounds.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
You can be front
and back.
That's... at that level of politics and just be like, oh, let's just, hey, you lift up the corner of that rug.
I'll just. I've got my broom.
Scooch that one under there.
Yeah. And, hey, you know the parts in the TV shows where that horrible son faces justice?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That bit's fiction.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we learn more about vulture vomit?
Yeah, vulture vomit. Vulture vomit. On March 3rd, 1876, a farmer's wife, Mrs. Crouch, was
stand
making...
up.
Yeah.
She should stand up.
Very, very hard to see your crops from down there.
Was making soap on her porch.
Average
1876 woman.
Peon behavior.
When she reported seeing a piece of meat fall from the sky, she said she was 40 steps from her house when the meat started to slap the ground.
Oh, that's hot. That is hot.
Visceral sort of sound, yeah.
Plap.
Mrs. Crouch and her husband believed the event was a sign from God. Fucking peon brain, absolutely.
But also, I mean, like, go back, like, I don't know, 30 years. I'd probably believe
that.
Yeah,
I probably would too.
Like, holy fuck. get right with the Lord.
Yeah, I got to start praying. The phenomenon was covered by Scientific American, the New York Times, and other publications. Most of the pieces of meat were approximately 2 by 2 inches. That's 5 by 5 centimeters.
Oh, you're making a stew.
Yeah, you got a stew going. At least one was 4 by 4 inches. The meat appeared to be beef, but according to the first report in Scientific American, two men who tasted it judged it to be lamb or deer.
Hmm.
How much meat do you know about in 1876?
The 1876 Pepsi challenge with this shit. What are we?
Just have a taste.
Yeah,
too gamey. This sky meat is a bit gamey.
Maybe venison. Writing in the Sanitarian, Leopold Brandels identified the substance as nostoc, a type of cyanobacteria. Brandels gave the meat sample to the Newark Scientific Association for further analysis.
Hang on, what is the Sanitarian? What is that? Is that a newspaper?
Why'd you call it that?
Yeah.
Why'd you call it that? Okay, nostoc is like an algae that grows in your soil?
Yeah. But if it comes down and people are confused whether or not it's lamb or beef, I feel like it probably looks a bit like lamb or beef. It's probably not algae. You're probably just fucking...
yeah.
Taking wild swings here.
Leading to a letter from Dr. Alan McLean Hamilton appearing in the medical record and stating the meat had been identified as lung tissue from either a horse or human infant.
Okay. Let's do a little better at narrowing that down.
Yeah, probably. Are they similar? The structure of the organ in these two cases being almost identical.
Okay, writing that one down.
I don't know about that one. This might be some 1876 stuff. The composition of this sample was backed up by further analysis, with two samples of the meat being identified as lung tissue, 3 as muscle, and 2 as cartilage.
And as we found out last week, sometimes horses just explode.
Mm. Yeah. And you're saying it could be a horse lung.
There's a leading theory, is all I'm saying.
Could be a horse that was in a hyperbaric chamber, exploded so hard, went back in time.
Could be.
Yeah.
Brandel's Nostoc theory relied on the fact that Nostoc expands into a clear jelly-like mass when rain falls on it, often giving the sense that it was falling with the rain. Don't know about mm-hmm. that one. Mm. Charles Fort noted in his first book, The Book of the Damned, that there had been no rain. Locals.
You're writing The Book of the Damned.
Why are you writing the Book of the Damned?
Oh, I'm just working on my first novel. It's the Necronomicon.
Yeah. Googling that one there, Andrew?
Oh, no, not the fictional one. The real. I'm writing the real Necronomicon.
I'm writing about the meat rain.
Yeah.
Locals favoured the explanation that the meat was vomited up by buzzards who, as is their custom, seeing one of their companions disgorge himself, immediately followed suit.
There you go.
Yeah.
Social pukers.
They are social pukers. Dr. Lewis Kastenbein presented this theory in the contemporaneous Louisville Medical News as the best explanation of the variety of meat.
And we love a variety of meat.
What a world. What a world to live in 1876 where you can all get together and be like, well, pretty certain it was buzzards vomiting meat on their own legs.
They sent it to scientists. They've like got real scientists on this, and then they're like, "Ah, I reckon it was probably buzzards because that when they see another buzzard vomit, they vomit too."
There was a real time when I mean, there's probably been a few points in history where we believed that scientifically there was probably only a couple things more to find, and then we're done.
Yeah.
Right. So. You figure, like, when you're nearly done with something at work and you're pretty bored, you start working on your interests. You do your Google 20%, like, you know, personal time.
Mm.
Solve that raining meat problem over in Kentucky.
I kind of want to get a hold of this Book
about
of the Damned.
Buzzard vault. Yeah?
The Book of the Damned was the first published non-fiction work by American author Charles Fort. First edition, 1919. Concerning various types of anomalous phenomena, including UFOs. They were talking about UFOs in 1919.
Oh, yeah.
This sounds great.
Real.
Uh-huh.
Strange falls of both organic and inorganic materials to the sky, odd weather patterns, the possible existence of creatures generally believed to be mythological, disappearances of people, and many other phenomena. The book is considered to be the first of the specific topic of anomalistics.
That's super cool. Got to get Ben a copy of that.
Yeah.
Oh, check that shit out. I was really surprised when I was reading. I was reading a little while ago the non-fiction book that Gangs of New York is based on, and was like, oh yeah, this is all normal to me. Actually, I said, but then I looked in the front and it was from like 1926, and I was very surprised by how readable something from 1926 was, because you know, there's a point. There's a point where the language tips over into, like, this is structured very differently.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, what I'm saying is maybe the Book of the Damned is very readable.
Could be.
Probably. It's about real things, meat showers, things of that nature. Anyway, that's it. That's the Kentucky meat shower.
And what about the exhibit?
Don't know. There's a museum exhibit about it. That's it. That's the story.
Oh, boy. Were we to tell you...
They got that meat in a jar.
Come down and have a look. You reckon they'd let you sniff it?
Surely. Like, just have a sniff.
Two bob, right?
Can you eat it?
Two bob a sniff?
Is it preserved? Is it like jerky? You could probably identify what it was.
Yeah.
There's a... I think there still is an exhibition at the National Museum of like ancient Egypt stuff, you know. And we went and checked
what do you
it
mean
out.
The National of like oh Australia's National
Australian National
okay.
Museum.
Okay, but just in general, are you know going down to the museum to see Egypt stuff?
No, the one in Canberra. The one in Canberra of ancient Egyptian stuff. I didn't realize that they were doing like Russian nesting dolls with the sarcophagus. Where there's like...
They put a sarcophagus in the sarcophagus?
Yeah, like three of them.
Yeah.
There's like, they wrap you up and then they put you in like a real tight one. And then that one goes inside the sort of the main one. And then the main one goes into like a rugged hard shell.
Oh, yeah, they do, huh?
Yeah. They
like
got
the durable sarcophagus.
Yeah, they got all like cool shit painted on the inside of them. Yeah. Very neat. But there was a little bit of it where it was like, smell these smells from ancient Egypt.
I'd prefer not to.
Yeah. And like, so, you know, it's like smell what myrrh smells like. And so on. And there were a couple of different things and a couple of real stinky ones, you know?
Yeah,
smells. I was like, I didn't need that.
Smell an ancient Egyptian butthole.
Yeah, can you believe that some stuff in ancient Egypt was stinky? Yes, I completely believe that.
Sure I would believe that of any place in the world at any time.
Pretty much.
You got to think that Cleopatra was like also very stinky, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Go on.
Which parts of her do you think were the most stinky?
All right.
Come on now.
Come on.
Can't speak about a queen like that. Boy, were we to tell you about an exhibit on the meat shower and then not give you any specifics of the exhibit itself, that would be a real crime. It's time for Crime Watch.
Put down your weapon. You are in direct violation of Penal Code 113, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply.
This comes to us from WKRN in Tennessee.
The corn.
The corn.
The corn.
Yeah, that's a cool K.
We are ready, you know. Gas station clerk stole $1 million lottery ticket from customer, Tennessee sheriff says.
Yeah.
Yoink.
Good if you can get it.
He probably needs it more than you do.
Yeah.
He works at a gas station.
Of the law.
Give him a break, you know.
What's the crime?
I should have it to see everybody else win. When's it my time to win?
Shit, yeah.
Does it say your name on it?
No.
It looks like it's in my hand.
Yeah,
that's all
weird.
And I haven't given you the receipt yet.
Yeah.
A Tennessee man was surprised to learn that he won $1 million after a store clerk allegedly stole his lottery ticket. That's the problem. Shouldn't have told him.
Yeah. The clerk won $1 million.
Yeah.
We're pro clerk on this one.
Yeah,
you should be surprised to hear that a clerk won $1 million.
Yeah.
The customer, an Antioch father who did not want to be identified, bought 2 scratch-off tickets at a Shell gas station in Rutherford County on July 13th. Both tickets were winners. One was worth $40, pretty good, while the other was
pretty
worth $1 million. I'm doing the Dr. Evil pinky thing. After scratching off the barcodes, authorities said the customer handed the tickets to the store clerk, 23-year-old Meet Patel. Quote, the victim in this case only scratched off the barcode at the bottom, and that will tell you if it's a winner or not, but it will not tell you how much you've won, Detective Lieutenant Steve Craig told Nexstar's WKRN. Get a last name, buddy.
Come on. Yeah. So you can win $1 million on a scratchy.
Yeah, I was just thinking that to myself. Like, I feel like over here, it's like, You get your scratchies, and the cheap ones, you win in like 500, 1,000 max, right?
There's allegedly a $10,000.
Yeah.
I feel like.
But those are like, we've got the scratchies where it's like, you can buy ones for like $1 or $2 or $5 or whatever, but there's also like big ones that you're paying like $10 or $20 for, right?
Yeah.
Wait, and like the fucking, you have to scratch a barcode to work out whether you won?
Well, you don't. That's just
game?
The cheat code. Like,
that's
you're not
just
even
a
having any fun there.
Right?
Where's
Why'd
the
you buy
game?
A scratchy?
Aren't you matching diamonds on that thing?
Yeah.
It's like sitting down at a slot machine and putting your money in and like pressing the button and just closing your eyes
closing
and waiting
eyes.
To hear if the song happens.
I don't even want to see the spinner.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
That's
also,
no fun.
He won $40. Be happy.
Yeah, you won $40.
You won $40. The scratchies probably cost you $10, so you're up $30.
Scratch off the entire ticket and make sure you keep your eyes on your ticket until it's scanned, says Lieutenant Steve Craig. The sheriff's office said Patel returned one of the winning tickets to the customer, along with a $40 prize. Show some gratitude.
Yeah.
you know?
Give you $40.
And place the other ticket in the trash. Hey, buddy, this one's no good.
That's so
this
funny.
This one stinks.
To just be like, yay, you won $40. You won.
Sliding the other one into your pocket.
I'll just chuck that one in the bin for you.
That and like the advice from the police officer to like not take your eye off the ticket and scratch it. Like, it's so parochial. It's like living inside a festival. Like, you got to keep your eye on the guy so he doesn't press the button under the table to make the magnet start and lose you the game or whatever. Like,
it's look, I have to say, and I don't think this will be a surprise to any longtime listener of this show, I have to say, I'm not mad at this guy. He saw a chance to make a better life for himself, you know.
It's only natural.
He's tired of working at the Gas and Gulp.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You got to take it. You got to seize life in both hands.
That is so true. Carpe diem.
Carpe diem.
And plus he was like, hey, what if we both got a win here today?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if you got $40
and I got a million as well? Yeah.
I got a little win. What if we both got,
something for you, something for me, you know? What's the problem? That's smooth, though. Like, I think... I think
in the moment, like...
just having the presence of mind to go, yep, this one's... Oh, $40. You lucky duck.
Yeah. And the machine says this other one's all fucked up. So I'm going to throw that out for you.
It's all fucked up.
No problem.
The machine says that if you try to redeem this one, it's going to skim your credit card. So I'll just take care of that for you. I'll do you a favor. I'll take care of that for you.
You got a dookie ticket. No worries. You also got $40.
Store video obtained by detectives showed Patel later taking the $1 million ticket out of the trash and putting it in his pocket.
Genius.
Yep.
Patel allegedly tried to claim the prize from the Tennessee lottery, but employees were suspicious. Probably racist.
Probably.
Quote, he couldn't provide certain things to the lottery commission, such as proper identification or any bank information, Craig said, adding that Patel raised enough red flags for lottery officials to investigate. Wow.
Okay, all right. No. So you've got to have your paperwork in order when you're running the $1 million lottery ticket job.
Yeah, I don't think you can turn up and say, I'll have it all in cash. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to give you $1 million in cash.
My name? Ticket
Steve Craig.
Tennessee lottery investigators Vic Donahoe and Greg Hyman worked with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office to get the ticket back to its rightful owner. You got multiple lottery investigators?
You got lottery investigators. Greg Hyman, the Tennessee lottery investigator. Do you reckon it's just these two guys for all of Tennessee? I reckon it is.
Remember when we had the story... remember when we were, for some reason, reading the stories about like the guys who were fishing, the fishing competitions?
Mm. Yeah.
Where it was like you had to like prove that you had caught this fish in this region.
Yeah, the Sharelunkers.
Sharelunkers, yes.
Toyota Sharelunker program.
Yeah, and it was like...
There's the hotline.
We have a manned 24-hour, seven-day-a-week hotline. For you to report your Sharelunker catches, and also we're going to investigate you. Like they've got, this is going to be like this, isn't it? Where the fucking Tennessee lottery is better funded with investigators than like the cops, right?
Yeah, like the serious.
I don't think anyone's better funded than the cops in America.
No,
that's true.
Craig and Detective Dennis Ward identified the father after reviewing surveillance video and contacted him with the news. The customer was initially skeptical about his winnings, but the detectives eventually convinced him to claim his prize. But that was actually like the customer going, I don't know, and the cops going, okay, don't worry about it. Well, I'll put that ticket in the trash for you. So.
Yeah. You don't want to take this seriously? Oh, fuck you. I got other things I could be doing right now. Officer Hyman's in.
Officer Hyman's a busy guy. You know, waste his time.
You're going to fuck
with that. Fuck with Greg Hyman?
It doesn't matter.
Quote, he was very thankful, Craig said. The sheriff's office said Patel was arrested and charged with theft of over $250,000. You are going to prison, dude.
It's a piece of paper.
It hadn't even turned into $1 million yet.
He never possessed $1 million. Nobody did.
It's like getting charged with stealing a receipt. $5
ticket. Yes.
Theft of paper. Oh, it's a crime to take some paper.
Yeah.
Stupid. Ridiculous.
It's a crime to steal the idea of money.
Yeah.
You know?
Unlike money itself, which is real and exists.
He tried to steal the money. You wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah.
You wouldn't give it to him. And also the other guy never had it in the first place. So he never lost anything.
I don't know why that.
We need to find gave him real fucking jobs $40 for all of these people.
Yeah. I'm with Meat Patel on this one.
Let him live.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys can actually hear my windows vibrating at the moment.
What's going on?
They're being shaken by the bass out of the fucking magic carpet ride next door.
What? You're actually being serious.
I'm being serious. I am visibly... I can see the children's rides out there.
Do you want to be out there? You're sitting in here working? Oh. that could be me.
Yeah, I was going to say they won't let me on the children's ride because I'm too large, but we all know that's not true.
Now, perhaps you will be able to be pen pals with Meet Patel in prison. You could possibly send him a nice little letter. You know, they have those websites where you can...
You can write to prisoners.
Yeah.
You can feel really cool and kind of dangerous.
That's right. You can line them up with a nice place to stay when they get out.
That's right.
You can also send a letter to us at mailbag@buntavista.com and we will receive it in the mailbag. It's time for the mailbag. 1-800-317-5155. That's the Bunta Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista hotline. You can send us an email. mailbag@buntavista.com. Maybe DM us on Twitter. You could even message Facebook, but we don't really check the Facebook. Yeah, 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista hotline.
So this is really just a submission from a listener, but I feel like we haven't heard that song in a while. Just wanted to give the song a spin.
Yeah, there's a sulfiness to it.
Every now and then we should talk about something that a listener sent in because they do it a lot.
We need a little thing to keep them going, but and not I'm, enough to make them think that they
can
send taste. Just any old thing.
But I'm kind of loose with the rules. While Ben's away, you can submit things. I'll consider it. Probably submit them on Instagram where I'll see them because I don't know what's in that email inbox.
Yeah.
That's Andrew's and Ben's business.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to see it either.
They're gatekeeping it. They don't want any listener submissions, but I do. I'm kind. I'm a kind person. I love gatekeeping. It feels good. So this is from Kelly in the Discord who sent this through to me, and I very much enjoyed it. This is a translated article from a Swedish website that was auto-translated, and I'm just going to roll with the auto-translation.
Can you do the voice though?
Oh, it's been translated, so.
Do you want to read it, Andrew?
I want Lucy to do a little Swedish accent.
Do you want to read it? Do you want to read it? I can't do it. I can't do a Swedish accent. Do you want to take over?
I'm by Swedish, I mean the Swedish chef.
We all know what you mean by Swedish.
Eurovision police officers are suspected of theft of 4 chip bags.
Execute them.
4 bags of Biare chips of the taste salt and vinegar have been the subject of an internal investigation by the police.
Biare chips?
Biare. Biare?
Biare? Oh. BJ, A with like an umlaut.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the letter B and then R and then A.
Oh, no. Just a brand. Biare chips of the taste salt and vinegar.
Okay.
The police officers who were responsible for checking all the goods that were going into the People's Park during Eurovision are accused of confiscating the chips. Hundreds of visiting police officers were in Malmö in connection with Eurovision week. They came from other parts of the country, but also from our Nordic neighboring countries.
Yeah, some of them you can't trust.
Yeah, that's right. Won't mention them. The police officers who were responsible for checking all the goods that were going into the People's Park during Eurovision are accused of confiscating chips. I already said that one.
They took in my chips.
Many of them.
Yeah, I sort them vinegar. Token.
Token. They're talking the chips.
Token mine salt and vinegar.
You get them.
I'm looking at all the flavors of Biare chips.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's truffle and parmesan.
Okay, what could it mean?
Not a big fan of truffle.
Biare goes Italian.
Okay.
What might that
say? What could that mean?
Gradfil and lock. I wonder what that is.
Fish.
Sounds fishy.
Yeah, I don't have fishy
Sounds
chips.
Sounds like some fucked up fish stuff.
Hit the barbecue.
What could it mean again?
Oh, so this is such a beautiful kind of, it's a look into a people, a society, and someone's going to yell at me and say, you know, there's real problems with Nordic police or what have you, but we're like, you're not being like continually brutalized by police at a cultural festival?
They are stealing your chips.
They're stealing your
by
chips.
By the sounds of it. Like, but it sounds like they stole your chips.
And that's an outrage. Like,
yeah. When
the
you say
police here are stealing your chips for fucking nothing.
Also, if you went into a police station here and said, hey, I ran into some cops and they just took like a grocery bag full of snacks that I had.
Yeah.
They'd say, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the police officer will kind of roll up the sleeve on his arm to scratch his enormous new golden sun tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Which you probably have over there as well.
Totally.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Four chip bags.
Many of them were stationed at Folkets Park, where Eurovision Village was housed. There, they devoted themselves, among other things, to security checks of passengers and to search all the goods that were going into the businesses inside the park. On Monday, May 6, such a check took place on products going into the popular restaurant Far I Hatten. Among other things, about 100 chip bags of the Biare chips brand manufactured in Northwest Scania.
Please to open your asshole.
One of our suppliers came into us and said, just so you know, 4 chip bags are missing. The police seized them for no reason, says Ellen Armquist, co-owner of Far I Hatten.
I can think of one reason.
I can think of a pretty obvious reason.
Yeah, but you're also going to want to seize like a couple of cans of carbonated drink or whatever you got up there as well. Cause
yeah, you probably have to be thirsty like salt and vinegar,
salt
especially.
And vinegar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to the supplier, the police first wanted to seize a whole box of chips, but settled for 4 bags after the supplier protested. No reason for the seizure was given.
Yeah, start high and negotiate your way down.
How many police officers were there? Just like, you know, out of interest.
Yeah.
Maybe 4?
4?
Possibly 4?
Oh, in Swedish, Coke Zero is called Cola Zero.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy over there. It's kind of like us, but kind of
like
different.
Weird.
Yeah. And they look like us when they go to these like sexy like blonde guys with blue eyes.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't really know that much about the Nords except what I've learned from Midsommar.
Midsommar, the Northmen.
The Northmen, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I picture them. And ice hockey for me. They're all freaks.
Yeah, I look at Ethan Hawke in The Northmen and I go, that's what a Swede looks like.
Yeah, that's a Swede.
Look at Nicole Kidman in The Northman and they say, aha, I understand now.
They got a Skarsgård. At first, it felt like the world's smallest thing. But the more you think about it, the more wrong you realize it is.
Yes.
Says Ellen Armquist.
Yes.
A few days later, some area police from Malmo found out what happened and contacted us. They invited us to make a report. It has led to that a preliminary investigation has been started, which is conducted by the Police Department for Special Investigations, which is independent from the regular police to avoid jaunting.
No jaunting.
Also, I'm starting to understand how this happened. The only way that this could occur, police asking for a report against other police, is subtle but well understood intra-Nordic racism.
Mm.
Right? Like the Malmo police believe that the police from what's somewhere Helsinki?
Somewhere
Helsinki
else. Police.
They're all the same country.
They're disgusting, but to them,
they're
pigs.
Not, they're, yeah, that's right.
I genuinely think like one thing that would never happen here, and I'm sure plenty of people in other countries would have a similar experience, is the police contacting somebody and inviting them to make a report.
Yeah, hey, you want to make some more work for me?
Like, I know that I have never really been the victim of like any quote unquote real crime or trauma or anything, but even like the shit that I have reported to the police, it's generally like the attitude is more like you can make a report if you want.
Yeah, and then I'll have to go to the office. It'll take me a few hours.
Yeah,
it's like you can do some paperwork if that'll make you feel better about nothing happening.
Yeah,
is the vibe.
It's wonderful within the like our like shared society how universal the picture of Chief Wiggum typing on an invisible typewriter is.
Yeah, like, that's 100%.
Like when my sister rings up and says, hey, there is a person having a mental breakdown on the garage roof across the road from us and screaming at all the neighborhood children. And I'm like, well, you know, come back to us when there's a crime happening.
Yeah.
There's nothing we could do about that.
What do you want us to do about it? Four bags of chips.
Well, yeah, like, so not only have the cops actually invited somebody to make a report, doesn't usually happen here, but the other thing that I'm seeing here that is, again, a completely alien concept to us is the idea that, like, the police taking a bag of chips from you is not okay.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that even something that you would consider, like, a pretty trifling thing or like an extremely small potatoes, if you will, crime is unacceptable, almost as if the police should actually be held to a higher standard of conduct.
They should do less crime than the average person.
Yeah. What a crazy idea.
Whoa.
What a crazy idea that just like snatching some snacks off somebody as they go through is like, hey, you know, that actually makes us look kind of bad, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the cultural experience of Australians, Americans, I'm assuming British people, which is that like the cops...
Yeah, they got funny hats over there and those little wooden sticks.
Little batons. Yeah. Very silly.
What are you hitting with that baton?
Yeah.
Which is
give them big guns.
You swinging that and whistling? You got to swing that thing
you
around?
Tooting at me? No, for real. They got automatic weapons and shit over there now.
Yeah, probably got assault rifles.
But yeah, like if you were to kick up a fuss about something, generally here the experience is the police go, hey, what we're here for is to protect the other police.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe. Shout out
to
the
Swedes. Criminal suspicion is currently theft. Yeah. No one yet is served with suspicion. Prosecutor Lars Morand is the preliminary investigation leader. I just got case.
They got Lars Morand?
They got Lars Morand? I just got the case. It is a preliminary investigation into theft. Then we'll see if, who, or who are suspected, he says. The Malmo police's press spokesperson, Nils Norling, does not want to comment on the matter. We cannot and should not speak when there is an ongoing preliminary investigation, he says.
Yeah.
No info. Just like the police came and took some chips.
Yeah. We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. We're going to put them in a Swedish prison.
We'll find out who's getting the electric chair.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to put them in Montessori prison.
Now we're all going to help make dinner together.
Yeah.
Oh.
But first, you must sort your cubes. We're not going to have any dessert until all of your cubes are sorted into their piles.
I think that's what they're doing in there.
You know what would be a really like
sorting cubes into little boxes
with Anders Breivik.
Imagine how psychologically damaging it would be, Theo, if you got sent to prison, right? And the prison is a normal building, but everything is scaled up by... Everything's scaled up by like 50%, so you need like a stool to get up to the counter.
No. Every time you want uppies, you've got to ask a guard.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you need help with that little guy?
Yeah. And then a lady teacher comes and picks you up and puts you on the bench.
What if all the ladies in there were 7 feet tall?
The doors aren't locked. Like... They're all just too heavy for you to push open by yourself. You can't reach the handle.
I've just got my mouth open waiting for a fish to be put on it. No, you haven't sorted your cubes yet.
Sort your cubes.
Sort your cubes.
First go over there color, with your other boys and sort your
my
cubes.
My feeling.
Anders, share your cubes.
Share your cubes, Anders.
Oh, sharing your cubes with the other boys in the big prison. It's only natural to want to do that. It's time for Nature Corner.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong. It's a kiss of Nature Corner. Rob a crab, sit my dear.
This comes to us from WINK in Florida. Wink! FWC addresses disembodied alligator carcasses found in canal. Huh.
Disembodied alligator carcasses.
Hmm.
I feel like carcasses are the body.
Carcass is a body?
Is a carcass not disembodied in itself?
Surely the definition of like... A carcass is just a dead animal body.
Or are they right? Like decapitated?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know.
Carcass, the here. Dead body of an animal.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, Ben gave us a gross dead
oh,
body.
Oh, Ben
one.
Gave us a gross carcass story.
That's yucky, Ben.
Yucky.
But I guess like, you know, like a dead cow that's hanging up in an abattoir. That's like had its skin taken off and its hooves and its head and all of its guts taken out. That's still a carcass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that disembodied or is that just disenskinned?
Was it decapitated?
Yeah. Also, is... I did end up seeing that video of the crocodiles getting bonked.
Yeah. It was really funny. Just bonked him on the head.
Just bonked him.
And if you haven't seen it, there's a video going around of a crocodile getting bonked with a shovel.
It looks like somebody... In like some sort of
like
zoo / it looks like a big enclosure.
Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's all these crocodiles hanging out on the edge of the water. And apparently it's this person's job every day to do a lap of the whole thing and like chase them all into the water. They're holding a shovel out in front of them. And any alligators that don't immediately skitter into the water just get one whap on the nose.
They get a bonk.
Hey,
that's why the other guys were running. Yeah, that's why the other ones ran.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the mood for it that day, you're getting a shovel on the nose, you know?
Yeah.
I immediately saw that quote tweeted with like, alligators have all of these like nerves and sensory things in their face.
Yeah, that's how they feel the bonk.
Yeah. So you're actually applauding animal abuse. I'm like, actually, I'm gonna put it out there. Almost no species likes being hit in the face with a shovel.
No.
Yeah.
Wish a gentle parent those alligators.
Yeah. Come on, little fella. Your cubes are in the pond.
When you bite someone, it can hurt their feelings. How would it feel if someone bit you?
Alligators just grounding itself for the roll move.
Now, the dictionary definition of disembodied is separated from or existing without the body.
Yeah.
Like a disembodied ghost. So this doesn't
ghost. Only a ghost can be disembodied. This is a paranormal word. Stupid.
Talking about ghost alligators?
Wink in Florida. Get it together.
Yeah. Florida sun.
Floridian journalists, you are on blast.
Yeah.
Disembodied alligator carcasses have been found floating in a Fort Myers canal, causing neighbors to become upset about the lack of initiative to prevent this issue. I want more alligators near me.
Yeah. I appreciate the the residents going through the five whys to, like, for these alligator carcasses. They're not just upset about the alligator carcasses, which have been disembodied and we still don't know
what
that leaves of them. But also, why did this happen? Why did our foundational, you know, structure of society let us down such that there are disembodied alligator carcasses
in there? Backyard,
why can't we
in
explain
my
why that in my canal? We're NIMBYs when it comes to alligator shit floating in our stuff.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has been called to help investigate the cause and possible culprit of this horrendous crime.
Yeah, probably a good start.
Quote, "We will know there may be a larger issue, and we need to monitor that for any potential future violations," said FWC Law Enforcement Division Public Information Officer Bradley Johnson. The dismembered gators, that sounds more correct.
That's different.
Okay. Now that's a different word that you're using.
Yeah.
That's different, not astral projecting at all.
Sounds more appropriate. The dismembered gators, just pop that one up in the headline, you know? Yeah. Found in the Caribbean Canal in Fort Myers Shores have provoked questions as to why the animals were left in that condition.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Probably not how I'd say it. I'd probably say, like, who did this to them, but also it's fine. America should not be in the Caribbeans. The United States of America, I mean.
Get them out of there.
Caribbean Canal. I think it's just called that.
Just
maybe
a name.
Draw a big line around America, the USA. You're not allowed to have the Caribbeans.
No.
The Caribbeans start here at the Bahamas or whatever. You can't have it.
Quote, "Typically, when someone harvests an alligator for use, they use components from the tail for meat and the head," said Bradley.
Oh, snout to tail.
"When we see those pieces removed from an alligator carcass, it often indicates a human harvested it." No shit. You saw a fucking alligator with its head and its tail cut off and you went, I think a human did that. Congrats.
Yeah. It's either a human
or... And then you put it back? You put it back in the water?
Just pop it back in there. I'm all done with you.
I'm all done. I've got the meat.
Got the bits of matter. I need to take those teeth, turn them into necklaces, sell them at my stall at the market. Wink News spoke with neighbors about the upsetting nature of seeing alligators in the conditions they were discovered in. Quote, "My wife and I went for a little boat cruise on Saturday evening and we saw something floating in the middle of the
idiotic
canal." Huh?
Just going for a little boat cruise in our canal.
A little boat cruise in the canal.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Says witness.
The sea is going to take you when the water levels rise.
Yep.
Yeah, you're gone. It's
all going to be one big canal, buddy.
Goggle, goggle, goggle.
Says witness Jason Widener. Medium-sized alligator whose head was missing, tail was missing, and feet were missing. Oh. And the neighbor came and we were talking and said, "What are those over there?" I went over there and saw two more. According to the FWC, 23 reports for alligator-related violations, including harvesting.
Yikes.
Yeah. I'm zooming in, by the way. I'm just zooming in on Fort Myers, and I haven't found the Caribbean Canal, but I did just by chance zoom in on a Hooters. So.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Everything going good over there.
Rather go there than Caribbean Canal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Got good wings.
Gonna have wings. No dismembered alligators. Oh, if you Google Caribbean Canal Fort Myers, it's all news stories about them pulling mutilated alligators out of the water.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Not good for property prices.
Hmm. Do people want to get eaten by the alligators? I don't understand. What do you want, Floridians? Wink News contacted Frank Robb or Alligator Robb.
Tell me more about Alligator Robb.
An environmental education awareness research support and services representative. You gotta neaten up that job title, brother.
Yeah, come on now.
When someone says to you at the dinner party you're at, "What do you do, Alligator Robb?" And you say... I am an environmental education awareness research support and services representative. Do you think anyone you ever say that to will say, okay, or they will immediately follow it up by saying, and what does that mean?
I think they probably know Alligator Rob. He seems like he'd be a well-known guy around Florida.
Yeah.
If I was going to a if I was going to a dinner party or something and someone's like, oh, and by the way, Alligator Rob's coming, I would be like, Jesus Christ.
Fuck, why don't you tell me? Yeah. Shit, I would have prepared better.
I would, would prepare to have diarrhea so I don't have to be in the same room.
Alligator Rob.
Every time I'm at a fucking dinner party with Alligator Rob. Oh, God. So they contacted Alligator Rob about offering a different perspective on the dismemberments. They've completely dropped disembodied by this point. It was just in the headline, and then they've gone into dismembered all the rest of the way through the thing.
Also not dismembered. I would say decapitated, personally.
Well, but they did get dismembered because they chopped off other bits too.
Feet and the tail. All right.
Yeah.
Dismembered, first definition of a body, having had the limbs cut off.
Oh, is that all? So it is dismembered and decapitated. All right. This sucks.
meaning to cut, tear, or pull the arms and legs off the body of a dead person or animal.
This is yucky. This is a yucky story.
Huh. Alligator Rob says, it's the dark side of things with alligators. Sometimes it is poaching and people taking trophies. It's unfortunate. And this is a fairly protected animal for a reason. Fairly protected? It's relatively protected.
Somewhat protected.
Yeah.
They are a keystone species.
Probably more protection that needs to be happening.
Yeah.
They are a keystone species. They're very important and are a vital animal to our local environment, said Alligator Rob, suspiciously wearing like a big alligator tooth necklace.
Yeah.
Alligator skin hat. Alligator boots, you know?
Yes.
Oh, these? I found the skin for these.
Yeah, I found these. I found it.
The FWC is investigating what happened to the three dead alligators here at the canal. However, representatives have stated the difficulty in catching the suspects associated with the crime. Yeah, I can imagine that. I think at that point you probably need to have somebody just tell you that they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me.
Do you think this is one
up.
Person? Although it must be like one or a group of people, right? Just trying to get some free alligator meat, presumably.
You'd think so. You'd think if you were trying to make some boots or whatever that you'd take the whole thing, right?
You'd think so.
Yeah, just they're in like, it for the meat.
Don't just chuck it back in the water, you know?
Yeah.
That's your responsibility to get rid of the alligator carcass.
Yeah, stuff it in your bin. And if you don't have a room in your bin, wait until bin day. And
just put it in someone else's bin.
In your neighbor's bins.
Yeah, just late at night. There's room in there. Slide it in.
If you chopped up the alligator like right after bin night, put it in your freezer.
Yes.
And then just pop them out and into the bin, you know, the morning that the bin trucks are coming. And that'll probably do it.
Yeah.
Although generally I think the guys who operate the bin truck don't really like when there's a huge, solid, frozen alligator carcass going directly into the truck. It's very heavy. It'll make a hell of a noise when it goes in, and they will stop to see what the fuck was that, you know?
Yeah.
Folks, I think that's what we in the business call an episode of the Buena Vista podcast. Thank you for listening. If it's too yucky, sorry.
I mean, take your ass over to the Murderino podcast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, listen to something about real people getting
killed.
Oh,
I don't have
killed.
A stomach for decapitated alligators, you know?
Oh, I don't like hearing about vulture vomit.
Why don't you go watch the new Marvel movie? You know, why don't you go watch Deadpool versus Wolverine?
That's probably yucky too, I don't
probably.
Know.
Apparently they might be gay in it.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. Wonderful. All right. See you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.